Hello. So this is the presentation of assignment number 2. This time we do things a little bit differently because we are going to just use a screencast. And this is deemed helpful because we're also going to show you how to set the whole software environment up that you may use to use as a base for your prototypical implementation of the concept that you have derived in assignment 1. So after assignment 1, you should have elaborated this concept of a location-based social game, which uses the individual context of a user and his or her teammates, such as your localization data, and also the long-term social context of the users, such as they are derived by social networks. And then finally, also use a short-term social context of the user, such as the interaction with other users or the localization data itself. So for this talk, the whole procedure will be split into 2 parts. First, I'll give you a presentation of course, the assignment 2 and this exemplary prototypical implementation that we did. And then finally, I'll give you some practical overview how to set up the whole development environment that you may use. So assignment 2 is totally all about implementing your concept of a localization or location-based social game into a working prototype. So the formal requirement here is that you do it as an Android application. And as I'll present it here, you may use a central server to get your game going. So that's also a part of the implementation that we provide for you. So all in all, this whole software environment is divided into some kind of client application and a server application, which I'll elaborate on shortly. So anyway, you're free to use any online resources, so you can also use code that you found in the internet, but you are you have to document that. So you have to decide which are your sources that you actually used. So this implementation that we did is a simple game, which uses the long and short-term social context. It uses different modes of communication that you may find helpful for your own game, such as different events or user messages. And it provides you the infrastructure to handle user and localization data and some means to process them further. And it's essentially divided in a client and server application. So, as I said, it's a simple game. And the game actually starts after all geolocations and long-term social context has been acquired from all users. So then a user can request a new game, and the application finds a fitting opponent to this user, which is, in this case, just to simplify everything, a friend of the requesting user, and a person, of course, that is nearby, within 100 meters. So these are the criteria for an opponent. And if both users accept the game, they're asked to shake their phones. So that's the simple confirmation of the short-term social context. And the winner of this game is randomly chosen. And, of course, we're using some scoring, so in this case the winner is given some credits, and if the game is not accepted by users, some points will be subtracted from the score. So as I said, that's just a rough outline of the gameplay, and of course you're free to deviate from that. So these are some screenshots from the application, from the Android application, and you see we are using 3 screen sets. One is this main screen set where you can simply request a game. And then we added a simple means to give you some logging output, in this case just to give you some more information what has happened in the application. So in this case we see that the application has logged into Facebook and got some messages from the server. Then we've got some map outlined here. Actually there are two users represented here. We've got this little yellow man there, which is the actual user, and then this indicator, this overlay, is a second user. And I'll come to that shortly. There are some additional functions associated with that. And the third screen is actually the statistics of the game, some basic information, who played against whom and who was the winner, etc. Of course, there are some dialogues in the application. When you request a game and the opponents have been chosen, then you are asked, or the users ask, whether he or she wants to play against the opponent. So this game can be accepted or aborted. And if the game is accepted, you are asked to shake the phone. So about this map functionality, one thing that you can do is actually to tap on another user's indicator, and then you're shown the name from derived from the Facebook data. But you can also poke this person. So you can you can create a unidirectional message to that user, and then he is or she is informed that he was poked by, well, in this case, by you. So as I said, it's a client-server application, and in this way, the server is a simple web service that contains all the game logic and all the handling of the necessary data, such as the user and the game data. And why this is some predominant scheme is that it circumvents malicious intent, or at least you are able to circumvent malicious intent, such as malicious clients that may be otherwise able to change game data. And on the other hand, it also allows us to respect privacy concerns, so because we don't exchange any private data between clients. The client itself is, as I said, a mobile application that is predominantly, in this case, just a user interface in the way of a classic thin client, that it just triggers events in the web service or reacts to external events that are created by the web service. So everything is okay as long as the client contacts the web service to request some data or something. But the problem is that the client's IP addresses itself can change, because the phone is, of course, on some mobile network, and the mobile network carrier doesn't give fixed IP addresses to clients. They're usually shared by NAT, for example. So in order to have this web service access the clients or send them some messages, we need to another means of communication. And in this case, we use a push service, which is provided by Google. So the communication scheme is basically that the client can synchronously request data from the web server, but we also have asynchronous messaging, which is started by the web server and uses the Google Cloud messaging, which is some layer of indirection. So finally, that messages sent by the web server will finally reach a specific client. So we have to use this kind of third party in our scheme in order to contact clients. So functionally, this code that we provide on the side of a web server gives you some means to log in and register users, and also to update geolocations, to look up nearby users and, of course, do everything game-related and administer data. And on the client side, as I said, this is just the user interface perspective on this game. The client can send game requests, show dialogues. Of course, we are reading the accelerator sensor data for shaking the phone. And we have to handle push messages. So you'll see that in the implementation. And of course, we are using the map functionality and the unidirectional messages. So that's something that is provided in this implementation that can give you a starting point for your own game. Now, regarding the involved technologies, there were basically two main motivators. One was that the documentation is good, so you can inform yourself on the net or have additional resources such as forums or, for example, helpful comments from Stack Overflow. And the other motivator was to get you started quickly. So these technologies are all simple to install compared to, well, other frameworks that you can use. So this was all about a simple installation or setup and hopefully a simple API. And our technologies are pretty modern. We use Android 4.2, which gives you some more UI features. We're using Facebook as a social network, as you might have guessed. And the Play framework, which is quite modern and agile framework to develop web services. We're using MongoDB as a database. And for all the server, client-server communication, we're using JSON and HTTP, which is, of course, the classic ingredients for this kind of communication scheme. And we're using OpenStreetMaps for the map data as well. So all in all, this whole communication, if we leave the push messaging out, is a RESTful client-server communication. So the client does not save any game or user data, nor does it change anything regarding such data. And the web server is, of course, then not concerned with the user interaction. And the web service is stateless with respect to the client, so it doesn't know in which state the client specifically are. As I said, we're using Facebook. That's fairly obvious because it's the most widely used social network, and it's got a good documentation for projects and how to get started. And of course, for the client side, you get an official Facebook SDK for Android. On the server side, that's a little bit different because Facebook doesn't offer any server side APIs. So we're using RESTFB, which is not official, but it's widely adopted and it's quite well documented. As I said before, you're not forced to use Facebook. You can use whatever fits. For example, Diaspora, if you can figure out how to use the API, if there exists one. And you might be also able to create your own little social network on the web service side. So these may be your two options. Maybe there are some more. Yes, so regarding the Play framework, it's a complete development stack. It includes a web server, of course the web application, but it usually includes a database, dependency management with build tools, which are excellent, and asynchronous input-output. So it also actually does scale for cloud services. It does not need much configuration to get started. And one of the nice features is that it uses hot code reloading. So without even an IDE, you can change the running code, and although it's in Java framework, the code is compiled on the fly and linked into the running application. So you can actually change the web framework or the web services as you go along with the development of your client application without even needing to restart or to, well, restart a server or anything like that. So it also has support for most IDEs, and it has superb documentation with, as I think, is quite straightforward API. But for the practical part, I'm going to show you some examples of the code. So you'll see where to get started. We're using MongoDB as a database, opposed to using the Play framework offered databases, because we need, of course, some kind of geospatial indexing. So the classic approach would be to use PostGIS or Oracle Spatial, which are quite, well, compared to MongoDB, quite cumbersome to set up, and are also requiring some special SQL syntaxes to make use of this geospatial indexing. MongoDB got support of this feature. It just gives you a basic functionality in regards to this, but it should be sufficient for your application. So it also gives you polygons or anything based on geospatial indexing. MongoDB itself is not an SQL database, so it's the most common NoSQL database, and it follows a document model, so it's more similar to bread and butter data structures that you're used from your own daily programming experience. It uses quite a simple API. In fact, you can use JavaScript to access everything database related through a terminal interface. And in our case, we're using Django as an interface from the Java world to MongoDB, because it's less verbose and uses, for the most part, the direct MongoDB API. So MongoDB itself gives you a Java interface, but we're using a different one, in this case Django, because you can basically just copy and paste all the examples from the MongoDB website. So we thought it would give you an easier access point, a lower access point to get started with MongoDB as well, so you're not lost there. And finally, we're using the Google Play service with push messaging. That's, of course, because we are bound to use that for the Android platform. Still is well documented. And we're using OpenStreetMaps because it's less restrictive than Google Maps. For example, in Google Maps, recently there was introduced a restriction or a quota regarding the number of requests a client can do. Regarding the map data itself, the European map data, it's a similar quality to Google Maps. And regarding the Android widgets and whatnot, it's more basic, but regarding the basic features, it's on par with Google Maps. As I said, the communication is divided into a synchronous communication, which is initiated by the clients using HTTP and JSON as, well, transport layer and data format. And the functions that are served by the web service are accessible via simple URLs, as you would expect, with some parameter encoding. I'll show you that in the practical part. And the asynchronous communication, which is initiated by the servers, is, as I said, using the push messaging plus JSON. And I'm just that you get an overview how, for example, this communication processes look like. I'll give you an example of the communication procedure for the login. So this is actually the most complex process because it involves several different parties. So everything starts with the client, and the user wants to log in. And in order that the client is reachable via this Google Cloud messaging service, the client has to get some device ID. This is a unique ID that is assigned by Google to every device uniquely. And so the device requests this ID and, of course, gets some device ID back. So this device ID can be used by the server to communicate to this, or to identify the client and to communicate to it via this Google Cloud messaging service. And on the other hand, we need some kind of Facebook data. So the server knows all the friends and the name of the user, etc. And on the mobile side, actually the user has to accept that our application will access some Facebook, some profile data. And when a user accepts this request, Facebook actually sends back an authorization token. And this authorization token is valid for a certain amount of time, usually some hours, or in the longest case, I guess, some weeks. And this authorization token is everything that later on is needed to access Facebook data. So it's not tied to any device or something. It's a simple token that you can send to Facebook, and Facebook knows this originated from that certain authorization sequence. So all the data requested can be sent to whoever requests that. So that's the trick that we are actually using. So when a user is logging in, it of course the phone or the client, of course, sends the GCM device ID to the server, but also the Facebook authorization token. And finally, to make things easier, the location. So once the server has this authorization token, it can actually contact Facebook directly and get all the friends, in this case, Polly, Peter, and Paul. So this is the login procedure, and in this case, or after that, the server would simply save all this user data in the data in the MongoDB database. So the further outline of this talk is the practical part, in which I will show you how to get a source code, how to set up everything web service related, such as MongoDB and the Play service. Then I'll show you how to install the Android development environment and set up the client project, actually, and the SDK that we need to get everything going. And finally, I'll show you how to create and register a Facebook application and a Google application so that you can actually use the client and the cloud messaging for your own game. And then I'll conclude with giving you a quick overview over the source code, just for a couple of minutes, so you know where to get started.